Welcome. This is the Woodbury Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. We're glad that you tuned in, and if you'd like to know more about our church, you can find out all the information at woodburychurch.org. Or we'll see you some Sunday. Sundays at 10 a.m. Looking forward to it.
So if I have never told you this before, I just want to start off by saying that I love you, and Jesus loves you, and I am just so happy that you are here today. As we get going this morning, I would really like to start off by saying a prayer. So let's pray together. God, we just love you so much. We just thank you so much for today. We thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you for the ability to come and worship you this morning. We love you. Father, as we open up your word this morning, I just ask that everybody in this room will just be able to know that you love them so much. And I just ask that everybody here today will be able to leave and be a little bit closer to you. In your most holy name that we pray, amen. So my name's Presley Williams, and I am not the normal preacher. Patrick is in California at his brother's wedding, and I know that he's watching online. So Patrick, hello. I love you, and I miss you. But one of the things I wanted to highlight as we started was I got to spend some time this weekend at the Young Adults Cabin Getaway. And I really truly believe that that's been one of like almost like our secret ministries here that is just doing so well. We always have just great attendance. We meet after church on Sundays. It's really wonderful. They have a Bible study on Tuesdays that's really wonderful. And they just spent the whole weekend at the Craven's Cabin that they donated for us for the weekend. And I just think that it has just been something that is so wonderful, that's doing so well, that's self-sufficient. And I just really wanted to start off this morning by shouting them out. But we're continuing our sermon series on baptism. So when I was a child, okay, when I was young, all I ever really wanted was to be baptized. It was like the one thing that I wanted. Because growing up at my church, okay, you couldn't take communion unless you were baptized. And I overall just loved everything about baptism. I loved everything about the Sundays when people came forward and were baptized. We sang Amazing Grace. It was like the special song that we sang for when somebody was baptized. I loved that song, right? I loved just the fact that they would be wearing the big tunic thing that you get baptized in, and they'd be waiting on you, and everybody would be hugging on them. I just loved everything about Baptism Sunday. Everybody was so happy afterwards. It was wonderful. I also loved that you got your own very special Bible after you were baptized, and I still have mine to this day, and I just wanted to show you how much that it meant to me that I still carry it around. I still use it when I'm in the office. But I really wanted to be baptized. From the time I was like 6 years old, I asked my dad all the time. I would sit in the pew, I would watch the communion go by me, and I was just like, that looks so good. I'm so hungry. I want some of that so bad. I want to be baptized. I want everybody to hug me. I want to wear the special cloak. I want to be baptized. Finally, on March 18th, 2012, I was baptized. I finally realized the weight of my sin. I realized that I really needed Jesus. I really wanted to live the rest of my life for him, and I was baptized. And it was wonderful, very special. My dad baptized me. It was awesome. But the only disappointing thing about my baptism was when I finally got to take communion, I realized that it does not taste very good. The crackers are more like styrofoam, you know, the juice is really sour. It, honestly, that part was definitely not worth it. But if you've been baptized, you can probably think about where you were, who did it, what was going on. You probably remember a lot about the day that you were baptized. If you haven't been baptized, you're probably wondering, like, when should I? What should I do? Am I supposed to? You're probably really deeply thinking and wondering and searching for why you should do it. I'm going to tell you this morning, I do not have all the answers. I don't know all the things that baptism brings. I can't answer all of your questions. But normally when there's a biblical topic, and normally when something's tough, I think that the best thing that we can do is turn our eyes upon Jesus. And we can look at Jesus and see what he says about it and what he did. So this morning, we're going to look together at Jesus' baptism and see what that tells us about baptism. But before studying Jesus' baptism, before we can look at that, we have to understand the context. We have to understand what was going on, and that actually turns our eyes straight to his cousin, John the Baptist. So we're going to look at John the Baptist and his ministry before we look at Jesus' baptism. If you brought your Bibles today, we're mostly going to be in Matthew chapter 3. So you can pretty much stay there the whole time and you can follow along as we go through this wonderful account of Jesus' baptism. But Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 3, describes John's ministry. And it says this: "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight.'" So John the Baptist was a minister and he was a prophet, and his purpose and ministry was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. John preached a message of repentance. He was urging people to get right with God and be baptized. John prophesied about God's coming judgment and that a greater one was coming. You know, sometimes I think when we think about this idea of repentance, we kind of downplay it. But in the Old Testament, repentance was a really big deal. This was one of the main things that John was preaching. Normally when we think of repentance, we kind of just think about, I'm not going to do that anymore. Or, I'm going to be sorry. I'm sorry that I did that thing. But during that time, it was like returning to God. Repentance was returning to God, putting God as head of your life again. When you went astray, you returned to God. So that's what John the Baptist was preaching here. He was saying, y'all need to return to God. You need to stop the way that you've been living. We all need to return to God because his kingdom is coming. This greater one, this Messiah, is coming very soon. You need to make sure that you're right with God. And as Patrick said last week, baptism was not a new idea. If you go to the Old Testament, you can find examples of baptism, it talking about baptism. But this baptism was a cleaning. It was making yourself clean in front of God. It was how they returned to God, making themselves presentable to him. Yet John's call of repentance is new. He is bringing a new meaning that they had never seen before, because he calls people to repentance, for the kingdom of God is near. The Messiah is coming, and the people need to prepare themselves for that. Throughout John's message, he is very humble, declaring that there is one who is coming that is far greater than himself. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, it says, if I can fix that, it says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So could we all imagine what it would be like for us to be in attendance of John's sermons? You know, I could imagine this morning if I was up here like, y'all need to repent. You are all sinners. You all need to return to God. The Messiah is coming. We need to get ready. There'd be a lot of people getting baptized. There'd be a lot of people wanting to prepare themselves for the Messiah, wanting to prepare themselves for God. I bet there was a lot of excitement. I bet there was a lot of fear. I bet something crazy was going on in the wilderness. during that time. Yet one day, following this powerful message of judgment from John the Baptist, and the excitement and anticipation of this coming King and Messiah, Jesus finally shows up to the scene. And in the book of John, I believe that the picture is painted so perfectly. When John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.'" Could you imagine John? I bet he was super excited. He had been preaching about this for a really, really long time. I bet he was like, "Look, guys, look, this is the guy I've been telling you about. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus. This is the greater one." I bet he was really excited. And what was crazy was, with this anticipation, right, with this excitement, Jesus right there could have showed up to the scene, to the crowds that John had been preaching at. He could have done something really, really cool, right? And he could have started getting all of his people ready to go take back the Romans, take what was theirs. He could have claimed himself king right there. He could have started something crazy. He could have started this huge movement. But he does something weird. Jesus humbly approaches John and he asks to be baptized. Could you imagine how John felt about that? You know, in a way, Jesus asking to be baptized was contradicting everything that John had been saying. I bet John was like, "Jesus, what are you doing? I've been talking you up forever. Do something cool. You're embarrassing me. All these people have been waiting on you, and you're going to come to me, I see you for the first time, and you're going to ask me to baptize you? That's weak. That's not strong. What do you need to repent of? You're supposed to be perfect. What are you doing, Jesus?" It didn't make any sense. It was weird. John had declared that his baptism was for repentance, for those who were guilty and needed to return to God. Was Jesus admitting that he was guilty? Jesus was perfect. Jesus didn't need to repent. Not to mention that John declared that Jesus was far greater than himself, right? Why would John baptize someone who was so much greater than himself? The point is that Jesus asking John to baptize him did not make any logical sense. Therefore, it is no surprise how John reacted to this. He says, "I can't baptize you. What are you doing? Why am I supposed to baptize you? I can't baptize you." Yet what does Jesus say? "Let it be so now." Like, calm down. "Let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness." Let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. You know, reading that response from Jesus sometimes makes me a little frustrated. Because I wish right there, when John was like, "Jesus, what are you doing?" I wish Jesus would have explained everything. I wish that Jesus would have been like, "This is why I'm being baptized. And here's the flow chart, and I'm going to explain it to you. This is why you should be baptized. This is baptism. This is what it means. This is why I'm doing it." All of those things. But he just simply says, "Let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus' baptism is strange. It makes little sense. So what do we do with this, right? That's the point of today. How does this change our view of baptism? How does this motivate us to get into the water? What does this teach us about baptism? I believe that Jesus' baptism teaches us that sometimes the Bible, sometimes Jesus, is so beautifully simple. Jesus does not explain himself. He does not give a crazy story or reason for his baptism. Jesus simply and humbly submits to God, and through obedience is baptized to fulfill all righteousness. You know, this passage kind of reminds me of what Paul says in Philippians 2:8. Because he says that Jesus humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even though that led to Jesus' death. I think that's what's going on here in the baptism. Jesus fully submits to God, and out of obedience is baptized. Jesus is baptized because God said so. Jesus gives us a perfect example of the importance of surrendering our lives to God through being baptized in his name. And as Steve will discuss next week, we die to ourselves and we rise to a new life in a humble surrender to God. That's what Jesus was doing. Sometimes in our lives, we make really simple things hard and difficult, right? If you know me well, I am the world's worst at this. Amen. I am a professional overthinker, okay? When I have to make a decision for myself, and that can be going out to eat, or what movie to watch, or blah, 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 blah. When I have to make a decision, it is way more complex than it needs to be. I often ask pretty much everybody that I know for their opinion, right? And I start like saying, well, more people said this than the other. I ask a bunch of different people. I'll go to the internet. I'll just start searching in Google, reading a bunch of articles from people who I don't even know what their credentials are. And when I'm really desperate, I turn to the best form of information on the planet. I go to TikTok. And I see what they have to say. You know, just the other week, I was sick. I was pretty sick, okay? I was really not feeling well. I woke up multiple days, and I just had no energy. It was really hard to get out of bed. I didn't really have the energy to drive my car. My vision was kind of blurry. When I got to work one day, Patrick was like, hey, I got some stuff for you to do, and he just told me, and like, those tasks seemed impossible. And it was like making a slideshow, right? I just had no energy, no motivation. I just felt really sick. So instead of going to the doctor, instead of just waiting it out, I did the most logical thing in my mind, and I went straight to WebMD. Google symptoms, okay? So after all my research, I pretty much narrowed it down to the fact that I either had diabetes or cancer. And shout out to Patrick and Steve for talking me off the ledge. They're like, hey, just give it a couple days. Because the simple answer was, I was just sick. I had some sort of sickness. I was fine after a couple days. And I was 100% fine, right? But through the research, through the overthinking, I made my life a whole lot more difficult. Instead of just doing the simple thing, I did the difficult thing. And I think that we do that a lot. I think that this is often how we approach a biblical topic like baptism. We look up every verse in the Bible, right? We read every article. We read every book. We watch every sermon. And sometimes that brings up even more questions and hardship. We start feeling like we are not good enough. We don't know enough. It's not the right day. The right people are not here. Will people look at me differently? We even ask the question, do I have to do it? Do I really have to? And I promise with enough thinking and enough research, we can talk ourselves into or out of anything. If you believe that baptism is not necessary for your relationship with God, you can probably find some sermon, some article, some book out there that supports your claim. If you believe that the waters of baptism is the only thing that saves you, it's the only thing that's important for your relationship with God, you can probably find some book, some article, something out there to support your claim. Yet when we approach God this way, when we approach the Bible this way, sometimes we end up further away from Jesus. And we end up closer to the Pharisees, who had all the information, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know God. You know, we were talking about baptism today in the teen class. And one thing that we talked about was, sometimes it's really funny, because the Bible says certain things, we don't question it. It's like a command. The Bible tells us to do something, we don't question it. The Bible says, do not murder. We don't look at that command and think, I don't know, right? Should I really not murder? I don't know. We don't question laws like that. But some things in the Bible we question, we make really, really difficult. Yet when Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, it looked really complex. It looked like it really didn't make sense. But I believe that it was simple. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He did it because it was good. He did it because God told him to do it. And we know that it was so good because after he was done, God said, "This is my son. I'm proud of him. He is good." He was proud of Jesus after he was baptized. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead in Matthew chapter 28 and he was giving his great commission, it was simple. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all the things that I've told you. When Peter preached the gospel in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, right? He was preaching. 3,000 people simply heard the gospel and were baptized that day, submitting their lives to God. They didn't have time to overthink. They didn't have time to have a 2-year Bible study. They didn't have time to look at a bunch of articles. They didn't have time to listen to a bunch of sermons. They simply heard the gospel message, realized that they were sinners, wanted to surrender their life to Jesus, and was baptized that day. They didn't wait. It was simple. You know, when I was a kid, I remember asking my dad, why is baptism important? Do people have to be baptized? What's the big deal anyway? And he could have given me a long, complex answer. He likes to talk. He likes to sound smart. He has a degree in Bible. He has his master's in theology. He's been preaching for over 20 years. But what he simply said is, he said, why would you not? Why would you not do it? Because if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. I think that's powerful. I think there's power in something as simple as that. Follow the example of Jesus. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. How can we think that it's not? How can we think that we're too good to do something that Jesus did? If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. You know, I've also had many conversations with teens over the last couple years about baptism. You know, up at camp or anything like that, they come to me and they're like, what's baptism, right? And we start having the conversation. They always ask the same things. They're like, I don't really know if I'm ready right now. I don't really think that I'm good enough. I don't really think that I know enough. I always ask him the same thing in return. Do you know and love Jesus? Do you want to make him Lord of your life? If the answer is yes, they know far more than they think that they do. They know everything that they need to know. It's simple. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And I understand that not everything in the Bible is simple. We just went through the Torah. There's a lot of stuff in there that's not simple. It's hard to understand. There's people who dedicate their lives to this stuff. There's people who study the Bible every day. There's still stuff that we do not know. The Bible is not always simple. Asking questions and studying the Bible is good. It's one of the best ways for us to get close to God. But sometimes we don't need to take the Bible and make it something that's way more complex than it needs to be. Sometimes the Bible can be simple. You know, the gospel message is simple. It's one of the coolest things to me. You know, Sunday morning we have Bible class. And you can go to the very, very youngest age, and they can understand the gospel. They can understand that Jesus is good. They can understand that we are bad. They can understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You can go to the teen class. They can get it. They can understand. You can come to the adult class. They can get it. They can understand. The gospel is simple. We are terrible sinners. We are awful. We can't deal with our sin on our own. So God sent Jesus to die for us because he loves us so much. So if the gospel is simple, shouldn't how we respond to it be simple? If the gospel is so simple, shouldn't our response to it be too? Submit our lives to God, make Jesus king, and be baptized in his name. Why should we be baptized? What does looking at Jesus' baptism teach us? Don't make God's commands complex. Don't always make the Bible so complex. Simply have faith, follow God, obey his commands. Because we are supposed to follow Jesus' example, and if baptism was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. It's good enough for all of us. Let's not make a simple, righteous, and good thing super complex. If you believe the gospel, and you want to live your life for Jesus Christ, do it through baptism as Jesus did.